We're going to Memphis. Memphis is...
That's the next city.
...deeply troubled. And the mayor is happy. He's a Democrat mayor. The mayor is happy. And the governor, Tennessee, the governor is happy. Deeply troubled. We're going to fix that just like we did Washington.
Ending crime and disorder on America's streets. By the authority vested in me as president by the Constitution and the laws of the United States of America, it is hereby ordered. Section 1. Purpose and policy. Endemic vagrancy, disorderly behavior, sudden confrontations, and violent attacks have made our cities unsafe. The number of individuals living on the streets in the United States on a single night during the last year of the previous administration, 274,224, was the highest ever recorded. The overwhelming majority of these individuals are addicted to drugs, have a mental health condition, or both. Nearly two-thirds of homeless individuals report having regularly used hard drugs like methamphetamines, cocaine, or opioids in their lifetimes. An equally large share of homeless individuals reported suffering from mental health conditions. The federal government and the states have spent tens of billions of dollars on failed programs that address homelessness but not its root causes, leaving other citizens vulnerable to public safety threats. Shifting homeless individuals into long-term institutional settings for humane treatment through the appropriate use of civil commitment will restore public order. Surrendering our cities and citizens to disorder and fear is neither compassionate to the homeless nor other citizens. My administration will take a new approach focused on protecting public safety. Sector 2. Restoring civil commitment. A. The Attorney General, in consultation with the Secretary of Health and Human Services, shall take appropriate action to 1. Seek, in appropriate cases, the reversal of federal or state judicial precedents and the termination of consent decrees that impede the United States policy of encouraging civil commitment of individuals with mental illness who pose risks to themselves or the public or are living on the streets and cannot care for themselves in appropriate facilities for appropriate periods of time. And 2. Provide assistance to state and local governments through technical guidance, grants, or other legally available means for the identification, adoption and implementation of maximally flexible civil commitment, institutional treatment and step-down treatment standards that allow for the appropriate commitment and treatment of individuals with mental illness who pose a danger to others or are living on the streets and cannot care for themselves. Sector 3. Fighting vagrancy on America's streets. A. The Attorney General, the Secretary of Health and Human Services, the Secretary of Housing and Urban Development, and the Secretary of Transportation shall take immediate steps to assess their discretionary grant programs and determine whether priority for those grants may be given to grantees in states and municipalities that actively meet the below criteria to the maximum extent permitted by law. 1. Enforce prohibitions on open illicit drug use. 2. Enforce prohibitions on urban camping and loitering. 3. Enforce prohibitions on urban squatting. 4. Enforce and, where necessary, adopt standards that address individuals who are a danger to themselves or others and suffer from serious mental illness or substance use disorder, or who are living on the streets and, printed page 35818, cannot care for themselves. through assisted outpatient treatment or by moving them into treatment centers or other appropriate facilities via civil commitment or other available means, to the maximum extent permitted by law, or 5. Substantially implement and comply with, to the extent required, the registration and notification obligations of the Sex Offender Registry and Notification Act, particularly in the case of registered sex offenders with no fixed address, including by adequately mapping and checking the location of homeless sex offenders. B. The Attorney General shall 1. Ensure that homeless individuals arrested for federal crimes are evaluated, consistent with 18 U.S.C. 4248, to determine whether they are sexually dangerous persons and certified accordingly for civil commitment. 2. Take all necessary steps to ensure the availability of funds under the Emergency Federal Law Enforcement Assistance Program to support, as consistent with 34 U.S.C. 50101 ETC, encampment removal efforts in areas for which public safety is at risk and state and local resources are inadequate. 3. Assess federal resources to determine whether they may be directed toward ensuring, to the extent permitted by law, that detainees with serious mental illness are not released into the public because of a lack of forensic bed capacity at appropriate local, state, and federal jails or hospitals. And 4. Enhance requirements that prisons and residential reentry centers that are under the authority of the Attorney General or receive funding from the Attorney General require in-custody housing release plans and, to the maximum extent practicable, require individuals to comply. Sector 4. Redirecting federal resources toward effective methods of addressing homelessness. A. The Secretary of Health and Human Services shall take appropriate action to 1. Ensure that discretionary grants issued by the Substance Abuse and Mental Health Services Administration for Substance Use Disorder Prevention, Treatment, and Recovery Fund evidence-based programs and do not fund programs that fail to achieve adequate outcomes, including so-called harm reduction or safe consumption efforts that only facilitate illegal drug use and its attendant harm. 2. Provide technical assistance to assisted outpatient treatment programs for individuals with serious mental illness or addiction during and after the civil commitment process focused on shifting such individuals off of the streets and public programs and into private housing and support networks. And 3. Ensure that federal funds for federally qualified health centers and certified community behavioral health clinics reduce, rather than promote homelessness by supporting, to the maximum extent permitted by law, comprehensive services for individuals with serious mental illness and substance use disorder, including crisis intervention services. B. The Attorney General shall prioritize available funding to support the expansion of drug courts and mental health courts for individuals for which such diversion serves public safety. Sector 5. Increasing accountability and safety in America's homelessness programs. OA, the Secretary of Health and Human Services and the Secretary of Housing and Urban Development shall take appropriate actions to increase accountability in their provision of and grants awarded for homelessness assistance and transitional living programs. These actions shall include, to the extent permitted by law, ending support for Housing First policies that deprioritize accountability and fail to promote treatment, recovery, and self-sufficiency, increasing competition among grantees through broadening the applicant pool, and holding grantees to higher standards of effectiveness in reducing homelessness and increasing public safety. Printed page 35819. B. The Secretary of Housing and Urban Development shall, as appropriate, take steps to require recipients of federal housing and homelessness assistance to increase requirements that persons participating in the recipients' programs who suffer from substance use disorder or serious mental illness use substance, abuse treatment or mental health services as a condition of participation. C. With respect to recipients of federal housing and homelessness assistance that operate drug injection sites or safe consumption sites, knowingly distribute drug paraphernalia, or permit the use or distribution of illicit drugs on property under their control. 1. The Attorney General shall review whether such recipients are in violation of federal law, including 21 U.S.C. 856, and bring civil or criminal actions in appropriate cases. And 2. The Secretary of Housing and Urban Development, in coordination with the Attorney General, shall review whether such recipients are in violation of the terms of the programs pursuant to which they receive federal housing and homelessness assistance and freeze their assistance as appropriate. D. The Secretary of Housing and Urban Development shall take appropriate measures and revise regulations as necessary to allow, where permissible under applicable law, federally funded programs to exclusively house women and children, and to stop sex offenders who receive homelessness assistance through such programs from being housed with unrelated children. E. The Secretary of Housing and Urban Development, in consultation with the Attorney General and the Secretary of Health and Human Services, shall, as appropriate and to the extent permitted by law, 1. Allow or require the recipients of federal funding for homelessness assistance to collect health-related information that the Secretary of Housing and Urban Development identifies as necessary to the effective and efficient operation of the funding program from all persons to whom such assistance is provided, and 2. Require those funding recipients to share such data with law enforcement authorities in circumstances permitted by law and to use the collected health data to provide appropriate medical care to individuals with mental health diagnoses or to connect individuals to public health resources. Sector 6. General Provisions. And nothing in this order shall be construed to impair or otherwise affect 1. The authority granted by law to an executive department or agency, or the head thereof, or 2. The functions of the Director of the Office of Management and Budget, relating to budgetary, administrative, or legislative proposals. B. This order shall be implemented consistent with applicable law and subject to the availability of appropriations. C. This order is not intended to, and does not, create any right or benefit, substantive or procedural, enforceable at law or in equity by any party against the United States, its departments, agencies or entities, its officers, employees or agents, or any other person. Printed page 35820. D. The costs for publication of this order shall be borne by the Department of Housing and Urban Development. The White House, July 24, 2025.
Who am I here with?
My name's Jeremy, man.
Jeremy, what are you doing out here today by the library?
Just kind of hanging out, trying to see if I can find a friend of mine that I was hanging out with yesterday and we got separated and I haven't been able to find him or get a hold of him since yesterday. About this time yesterday.
Jeremy, do you currently find yourself homeless?
Yes.
What led you out here on the street?
My housing situation didn't work out, and I came to Austin to go to rehab and went through the rehab program, and things just didn't work out in the time I needed them to.
Can I see you without your glasses?
Sure.
Just so, because I see you have very beautiful eyes.
Thank you.
I think you can capture people with those.
So inevitably, I ended up back out on the streets. Up until 2 weeks ago, I was clean for a year. I started using 2 weeks ago, but I'm not using real heavy. I'm using here and there. There's a lot of times when I'm out on the streets, I'll use to stay awake because...
I got your six.
Yeah, there's certain situations you don't want to go to sleep in. Right now, with everything going on, dude, there's like people that we talk to that say or do the wrong thing the next day, and then you don't see them again. They just go missing. Like, their flyers are up down at the resource center, down at Sunrise Navigation, and their families are looking for them, and these people just disappear out of the blue, off the streets, and are never to be seen again. Last night, me and my homeboy got into some shit, and we had to split up and go our separate ways. Well, I haven't been able to see or get a hold of him since, and it's like hit and miss. I woke up this morning, had some text messages from him, so I hauled ass down here, and now I can't get a hold of him at all.
You gotta really constantly be on the lookout out here.
Yes. Or you've got to have a group of friends that are willing to look out for you. And really out here, it's a pretty cutthroat situation, man. Like this area is probably the safest area in all of downtown. And that's a lot to be said when just the other night while we were sitting up here, sleeping, a dude got murdered right over there by that bush.
How many nights ago?
Two nights ago.
For what?
We're not sure what he got murdered for. We heard it was over drugs, but then I've
gunshot, stabs, what?
Stabbed.
Dude, and it was this bush right here?
Yeah, that bush right there by that light pole.
That green bush right
yes.
there? Out of a million green bush.
Yep.
Someone lost their life?
Yes.
Why is the tension so high in Austin right now?
Well, part of it is because the mayor of the city is trying regentrification for downtown, which oddly enough, they didn't want us in, like they didn't want the homeless people in the population of like spread out through Austin. So they tried to group all the resources and everything downtown. Like if you go out to South Austin and stuff and you're homeless, there is no water access anywhere else. All your water fountains and everything are downtown. All the food, all our resources are downtown. Now they don't want us here either. So 2 days ago when I decided to leave downtown, at daybreak 2 days ago, they brought in APD and state troopers on bikes and woke everybody up. And pretty much it was like Nazi enrollment of the Polacks. They took us down to Republic Square and told us they'd give us resources. Then they told us their resources are full while they stood there and made us stand beside our stuff and took our stuff and put it in a trash compactor. And then when we asked, well, what the hell are we supposed to do? Where the hell are we supposed to go? They told us they don't care. They changed the law into the first time you're caught sleeping or resting or sitting for more than 4 hours in a city spot, in a public place, it's a warning. The second time's a ticket. The third time they're taking you to county jail. So, I mean, they've made it illegal to be homeless without saying it's illegal to be homeless.
When did they do that?
This started 2 days ago.
So that's the big transition. Mm-hmm. And they took a bunch of homeless people, collected them, so word gets out on the street.
Yeah. And a couple of my friends are missing right now. There's a dude that used to hang out up here with us. His name's Felix. Real good guy. Never hurt, bothered nobody, dude.
Big Red?
Huh?
Big Red?
Nah, young dude, we call him Legend, bro.
Leggy.
But we haven't seen him in 2 days.
And you think that's due to him getting snatched up by the government?
I do believe so. And then you see these black SUVs driving everywhere. They sit here all night long and watch us and shit.
So what is this in correspondence to?
We don't know. We don't know, dude. They give us food and like a lot of people get sick from the food and shit, or they're saying their stuff in it.
And you see Republic Square's all got that, all that construction
yeah.
right there.
And now, like, it's weird. They took all the drug dealers out of Republic Square, but you can tell there's certain dudes they allowed to be there to peddle certain drugs. And the people that are getting them drugs are way fucked up. Like, bad. Like, out of their fucking mind fucked up. Hurting themselves, fucking trying to hurt other people, laying down here underneath the bridge, dying, disappearing.
So some drugs that are trying to get rid of people.
Yeah.
And this is, wow. I mean, this is groundbreaking news. Guys, I'm going to be honest with you. What he's saying is very real. I've been doing this homeless coverage for a long time. As you guys know, for the last 2 months, I've been out here in the trenches with these, you know, fine people. And what I've seen in real time is it's almost like a buildup. And then all of a sudden, the tension's high.
Yep.
And then the bubble just like popped.
Yep.
Like I said, I've seen people out here that lurk the same thing every day that are gone. And I don't know where they're at. You don't know where they've been. You know, it's almost like they never existed.
Yep.
And they're just disappearing.
And then you get people, dude, that will be gone for 2 or 3 days and they'll come back and they'll start acting different and they won't. And we'll be like, well, where the hell were you? What were you doing? And they don't want to tell you. They don't want to tell you. So I don't know what they're doing or what the reasoning is behind it, but it's the same reason why, like...
How are you going to move different out here now?
How do I move different? Well, number one, I don't accept, like, food and water from most of these people out on the streets. Like,
okay.
I go get my own shit. I'm self-sufficient that way. The drugs I get, I know a dude down in South Austin. I go away from here to get drugs. So, like, I don't do the drugs that everybody else does. I go elsewhere to get drugs. But I've noticed all the drugs in downtown, even if it's people that trust each other, man, they're giving them fucked up drugs. And it's doing something weird to everybody, especially these guys that are on methamphetamines. Like, I've never seen people act like this doing methamphetamines in my life. Ever.
How long you been on the streets for,
man? Here, altogether about 3 months. I've been in Austin a little over the year, but I've been out on the streets for the last 3 years of my life. I was in Amarillo, Texas before this. And Amarillo has none of these problems. It's nothing like this. You're just homeless. And if you're a drug addict, you're a drug addict. You're sitting on the street doing drugs. There ain't nowhere for you to go or nothing for you to do. Here, there's a land of opportunity. And what is it? There's over 6,000 homeless people in Austin.
There's more than that.
Okay. Well, right now, there's at least 225 people on the bulletin board up at Sunrise Navigation Church that have just disappeared. Where'd they go? If you're out on the streets, dude, you're gonna run into somebody that knows you that's gonna tell somebody, hey, so-and-so's looking for you. These people have just completely disappeared. And nobody can tell us why or where they're at.
Is that due to the current administration?
Just tell me what you think.
Okay.
I honestly believe so.
And what would be the presence or the purpose, excuse me, the purpose of them taking these homeless people out of the inner cities?
I mean, if you read the thing that they're calling this new initiative is called the Hill Initiative. And that's what went into effect. And if you read it and stuff, it's displacing of people that have already been displaced. The whole concept of displacing us out of downtown is that more people will want to come to downtown if it doesn't have a bunch of homeless people hanging out in it. Well, you've taken everything else away from us, dude. We had encampments and shit that we could have, and they shut them all down one by one and drove us into downtown Austin. Now they're going to drive us out. Well, where are you going to drive us out to?
Yeah.
There's
you guys used to camp
else for yeah. us to go.
Yep. This is in real time. And I'm trying to like fact check you a little bit, but everything you're saying is spot on to what I've been experiencing. So, man, where does this end up?
The sad thing is I don't think...
I mean, that guy, is that an example of what you're talking about right there?
This dude walking right here?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, dude. That dude's been out here for a hot minute.
I know. I've interviewed him before.
Yeah, he's been out here for a minute, dude. But I run with some people that have been out here for a minute. And, you know, it's easy to say, dude, that most of these people have mental health problems or were drug addicts or whatever. But you got to think, me and the dude I run with, we're in rehab, bro, and we decided, you know, I completed the program and it was time for me to leave. He got halfway through it and decided that was enough sobriety time. That's what he needed. So unfortunately, things didn't work out the way we thought they were. We ended up out on the streets. We watch each other's back. We camp together and shit.
So what happens if you and me go ask the security guard, why are people disappearing?
They ain't gonna tell you nothing, bro. That's just like last night. I tried to get a cop to help me, and he told me that's not what I'm here for and walked off from me.
Gotcha. So I know some people pretty high up in that regard. I'm going to ask them and see what's going on. Get to the bottom of this, because this is insane. And it's moving quick.
Yes. Yes. And it's every day.
And it's not even televised.
Right. And
underground news, guys. Underground news. This is what you get when you have underground news.
Nobody's saying nothing. And this Hill initiative that Austin passed, dude, nobody said nothing about it until after it passed. Then they released the criteria for it. And if you go read it, it's pretty sickening. It really is. It's regentrification of Austin and wanting to eradicate the homeless.
So, wow. Eradicate the homeless.
Yeah.
So this title is going to be People Are Disappearing, in quotations, Eradicate the Homeless.
And at the same time, dude, you can come up here, like after this library closes at 8 o'clock, all these benches and stuff is where a lot of us hang out. But there's four of us that have always hung out together, and we're either on those benches right there or over by the door, dude, and we watch people pull up and get into these SUVs and stuff that hang around here at night.
Yep.
And they leave and they never come back.
Are you scared?
Am I scared? A little, man. To be honest, yeah, because you never know what they're gonna do. am I gonna live my life any differently than I live it? No. But like I said, I've got people that hang out with me that I trust, and we watch our backs. I don't sleep by myself. If I'm by myself, then I just have to stay awake that night, with or without drugs. If I'm not somewhere where I know the people around me, or have at least hung out.
You look paranoid to me, man. You keep watching your back.
I am paranoid. APD and shit, dude, like, they show up out of nowhere, and they're liable to do anything to take you to jail. They're arresting people for nothing.
But you haven't committed one of these things that you're talking about, which is you're camping somewhere 4 hours, you're putting a tent.
No, I don't have a tent anymore. The city took that from me. When I do rest at night, I rest in wooded areas with other people.
So you're camping out here too?
I stay in well-lit public areas when I do have to rest or when I do sleep. And when I do sleep, it's normally between 6 and 10 a.m.
You know, I visit some of the mega camps out here on the outskirts of Austin. You know, 100 people camps.
Sure.
What's going to happen to those camps?
The plan is they're eventually going to go into the woods and start clearing them out. As far as I know, in South Austin, they already have. I met some people last night down at the transit center.
I remember they threw out, they took an entire 50-person homeless camp out of the back of the Home Depot.
Yes.
What I'm talking about?
Yeah. I met some people that came from Oak Hill last night down at the transit center that had everything that they could salvage with them. They were just carrying it around. And they told me they'd been out in them woods for years and they didn't know where to go or what they were going to do. But the city came out there and demolished everything, just like cleared them out. So it's happening. I mean, which I don't understand. If they're in the woods, they should just leave them alone, dude. They don't want us out on the street in the public eye, but what's going to happen when you clear everybody out of the woods? Where are they expecting them to go? But the tensions are very high when you get down into Republic Square and stuff.
I was just there.
It in the mornings and when they feed, it gets very, very high. And it feels like any worse than any prison riot I've ever been through.
Man, that's incredible.
What's the worst part about it is when they started this initiative, they took some of these guys, put some of these yellow vests on them that were us, that were sitting here being homeless with us, and now they've got clipboards and pens and they're coming up asking us questions and telling us where the fuck to go. Like, that shit ain't working either. It doesn't work when you're just sitting here being homeless with me and now you're gonna tell me how to be homeless? Nah. But yeah, it's getting ugly out here, man.
I don't even know where to go after this, man. I think this whole video should just be about disappearing people.
If you want to see it in action, come hang around this area, especially Sea Home, around 8, 9 o'clock at night.
So I'll see you here tonight at 8 p.m.
It goes on all night long, and you can hear people screaming like they're being tortured and all different sorts of shit.
Well, here's what's going to happen. I'm going to be here at 8 p.m. with this phone camera.
Okay.
And we're going to document this.
Okay.
Where are you going to be at for the next 4 or 5 hours?
For the next few hours, man, I'm going to be around just gathering up supplies.
Sniping?
Yeah.
Gotcha.
Doing what I can do. Got to try to find my homeboy, bro. Got to try to find my
homeboy. Well, let me let you go then, man, and then I'll meet you here back tonight.
All right. Sounds good, bro.
Mental health. COVID-19 vaccination is an opportunity for mental health professionals to screen people for common mental illness through public health systems and increasing investment in mental health for a future pandemic. Adukwu et al., 2020. Persons with severe mental illness should be prioritized so that they can access mental health services regularly. To conclude, the COVID-19 anti-vaccine movement can affect community health and possibly prolong the COVID-19 pandemic and will inadvertently increase the burden of mental health issues. A systematic approach, appropriate innovative interventions, and global public health initiatives are needed to prevent this. Every year in the United States, many people get diseases that vaccines can prevent. Healthy People 2030 focuses on preventing infectious diseases by increasing vaccination rates. Infants and children need to get vaccinated to prevent diseases like hepatitis, measles, and pertussis. Though most children get recommended vaccines, some U.S. communities have low vaccination coverage that puts them at risk for outbreaks. Strategies to make sure more children get vaccinated, like requiring vaccination for children who are in school, are key to reducing rates of infectious diseases. Adolescents, adults, and older adults also need vaccines. For example, adolescents need the HPV, human papillomavirus vaccine, older adults need vaccines to help prevent pneumonia, and almost everyone aged 6 months and older needs a yearly flu vaccine. Teaching people about the importance of vaccines, sending vaccination reminders, and making it easier to get vaccines can help increase vaccination rates in adolescents and adults. Immunization is a global health and development success story, saving millions of lives every year. We now have vaccines to prevent more than 20 life-threatening diseases, helping people of all ages live longer, healthier lives. Immunization is the foundation of the primary health care system and an indisputable human right. It's also one of the best health investments money can buy. Yet despite tremendous progress, far too many people around the world, including over 20 million infants each year, have insufficient access to vaccines. In some countries, progress has stalled or even reversed, and there is a real risk that complacency will undermine past achievements. The COVID-19 pandemic has reminded the world of the power of vaccines to fight disease, save lives, and create a healthier, safer, and more prosperous future. Moving forward, strong immunization systems will be needed to ensure that people everywhere are protected against COVID-19 and other diseases. The World Health Assembly, with the support of countries and partners, has endorsed a new global vision and strategy called the Immunization Agenda 2030, IA 2030, to address these challenges over the next decade and save over 50 million lives. IA 2030 envisions a world where everyone, everywhere, at every age, fully benefits from vaccines to improve health and well-being. It aims to maintain hard-won gains in immunization, recover from the disruptions caused by COVID-19, and achieve even more by leaving no one behind, in any situation or at any stage of life.
Good day, survivors. Yesterday, I released a video about the ethical considerations in getting vaccinated. Having reviewed philosophical literature over the last 300 years, I have reached the conclusion that you have a moral obligation to get vaccinated, because if you don't, you're putting other people in harm's way. Now, this, of course, brought out all kinds of weirdos, wackos, the ignorant, the intellectually challenged, the psychopaths, the grandiose narcissists. Everyone came out of the woodwork and crawled from under the rocks in order to express their uninformed opinion. I would like, therefore, today to provide you with some grounding in literature, research, studies, and science when it comes to the psychology of such people, the psychology of anti-vaxxers. But before I continue,
Nate Bargatze.
Look, I say a lot of dumb stuff. I try to keep it in front of law.
I want to make a distinction between vaccine hesitancy and anti-vaxxing. Vaccine hesitancy is legitimate. You should do your research and you should gather information from reliable sources before you put anything into your body. And that includes antibiotics, medication, food, supplements, and of course, vaccines and inoculations. Vaccine hesitancy is just another name for due diligence, for critical thinking, and I'm all for it. I am against, however, anti-vaxxing. I'm against anti-vaxxing because these people are mentally ill. And I'm going to substantiate this claim throughout this video, if you care to listen. But before I go there, even in vaccine hesitancy, there are a few caveats. Number one, raw information is not knowledge. Therefore, you should not confuse the gathering of information with being informed. If you want to be informed, you must resort to reliable professional sources of information because these sources have processed the information and rendered it knowledge. In other words, you should rely on knowledge, not on raw material, because you're not qualified to assess the raw material. You hadn't been trained, you hadn't been educated in medicine. Number two, you should exercise critical thinking. But exercising critical thinking is not the same as adopting misinformation. If the source is unreliable, if the source is unknown, if the source is just your neighbor or colleague or your mother-in-law, ignore it. Ignore it because they are not qualified to provide you with knowledge, not even with information, and they are very likely to be spreading nonsense in fake news. And the final point is, doing research is not the same like hoarding bits and pieces of anecdotes. If you hoard anecdotes, if you collect anecdotes, that doesn't make you a researcher. That doesn't make you informed. It just actually amplifies your ignorance. So, by all means, before you get the vaccine, go online, go to university libraries, consult professionals, go to reliable sources, gather as much knowledge as you can, then make up your mind. But do not aggrandize yourself. Do not think that you are in any position to make judgments or to convert information to knowledge, or to realize what is true and what is not, or to base your final opinion on anecdotes. These are bad practices, and they lead inexorably to conspiracy theories, as example, anti-vaccine. Now, there's recently a virulent, poisonous confluence of conspiracy theories and victimhood movements. Many conspiracy theorists present themselves as victims, victims of the establishment, of the elite, of the state, of big pharma, of corporations. They are eternal victims. It feels good to be a victim. It's morally upright. If you're a victim, you have automatic rights and no obligations. If you're a victim, you can do anything you want because you had been victimized. It's a psychopathic stance. Psychopaths and narcissists like to claim and pretend that they are victims. They truly believe it, actually. There has been a series of studies in the past 2 years that had demonstrated conclusively that people who are eternal victims, people whose identity is victimhood, and activists in victimhood movements are actually psychopaths and narcissists. I am ashamed of my profession. I'm ashamed of my colleagues. I'm ashamed of medical doctors. I'm ashamed of psychologists. I'm ashamed of public intellectuals because they are cowed and afraid to speak out. They're terrified. They cower, cowardly, craven. They don't dare to say the truth bluntly and honestly, as I do, no matter the cost and no matter the price.
God bless every one of you. Today, I'm going to be reading from the 1611 King James. I'm going to be going into the book of Esdras, the second book of Esdras. And we're going to read the final chapter, chapter 16. I want you to really listen to this. And if you haven't got this book, I sincerely recommend that you either get it or look online so that you can read 2 Esdras 16 and compare it to where we are today. This is so detailed, so specific. The words should touch your heart. He is telling us what the beginnings of sorrows are. Greater detail. The things Jesus warned us of in Matthew 24. I want you to study your Bibles. I want you to read them regularly. Build your relationship with God. May Jesus guide you always. Pray through Jesus' name and the Holy Spirit to God above, that he may help give you guidance, understanding, and discernment. And wisdom, so that you may do that which is pleasing to the Lord. Come read with me now.